gathered here today to remember the life of a man who was brutally killed, who died and was placed in a grave borrowed from someone else. A man that you knew very well, and hopefully personally in your own life. He was survived by 12 disciples, really just 11. And his mother named Mary. And over the years, he's come to mean so much to all of us. So today we remember his life, his death, and his burial. But the good news is his resurrection. The table is covered much like a coffin at a funeral service, because under it lies elements that remind us of his body and his blood. Jesus told us not to worry about it, not to be troubled. He said, trust in God and trust also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going there. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And as surely as I go there to prepare a place for you and for others, I will come again. And I'll take you back with me. So that where I am, you may be also. He made an incredible statement. He said, you already know the place and you already know where I'm going. And Thomas said, I don't have a clue. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I want to remind you of a couple of things this morning as we enter into what is traditionally called Holy Week. The Jewish tradition, their Sabbath was Saturday. And so on yesterday, during this particular week, they had worshiped at the temple. They had had Sabbath traditions. But in John's Gospel, chapter 12, it says this, the next day, that would be Sunday, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast, because this particular week was the week of the Passover that would take place on Thursday night and Friday morning. And they were all gathering in Jerusalem for a very special time of celebrating, as Jews do, that Passover event that took place many years before in Egypt. So the next day, the great crowd that had come for that feast, they also heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And so it's implied right there in our thoughts and hearts and also in Scripture that they must have known him in life. Some of them had experienced the miracles he performed. Many of them had heard him preach with power and authority like no one had ever preached and taught about the kingdom of God ever before. And many were just curious. But word had spread. It had spread rapidly. And so, as he was coming to Jerusalem, it says that they took palm branches and they went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. That's why we call this day Palm Sunday. Now, after they welcomed him into town, after he rode in on the donkey, after things began to settle down, the crowd dispersed. In the midst of all of that, the Roman guards and the government was just indifferent to it. They could have cared less. This was nothing to them. They didn't believe, they didn't care, they probably didn't even know. But there was a group that did. There were those religious leaders, those Pharisees, who thought they knew better than God himself. and they were indignant, and they were quite upset. So as the crowd dispenses, implied in here and also told specifically in here, some events began to happen on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, and then during the day on Thursday, it led up to what we will celebrate, and then beyond. Those indignant Pharisees, they were determined to find a way to have this man killed. They didn't care about the miracles, and they certainly didn't want to hear anything about the kingdom of God from this uneducated carpenter. They wanted him dead, and they wanted it done quickly, but they knew they couldn't do it. They didn't have the authority. And so they had to go to the Romans eventually with some kind of trumped up charge and lies to get him put to death by a Roman authority, which would take place later. It was during these days also that in the mind of one of his own disciples arose a thought that maybe I can force Jesus now to take charge of things. If he can walk on water, if he can still the storms, if he can heal the sick, if he can raise the dead, then he can fight the Roman soldiers and they could never harm him. And so a plot was imagined, and then it was conceived beyond that, and then it was implemented, where Judas goes to those religious leaders and helps them find Jesus at just the right moment and have him arrested and carried off. It is here that I want to read in just a moment from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In this passage that we're going to read, Paul is talking to a very conflicted church. He's talking to a group of believers who have seemingly lost their way. Their differences, especially their opinions, had ruined their fellowship. Their divisions within themselves were based on personal self-will and not God's will. And the destructive nature of their personality was their calling card. It's what they were known by in the community. And Paul is trying to help them understand, you're even abusing the Lord's table. And it's got to stop. And so he writes this. Traditionally, as Jesus shared it, this event took place at an evening meal. Everyone was invited and had an equal seat at the table. There were no servants and kings. Everyone was the same. But over time in the Corinthian church, this had deteriorated into nothing more than a drunken party, and the sharing of the elements and the remembering of the body and the blood had become nothing more than a drunken brawl party. Some were not fed, some got drunk, some neglected the purpose of the event altogether. They weren't taking this seriously. And the real meaning of the Lord's Supper had been lost. But I want to remind you today that when we come to the table in a moment, we come as His invited guest. No one has more right at this table or less right at this table if we come upon His invitation in accordance to His word. We are all participants. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've asked Him to forgive you of your sin, if His body and blood, His sacrifice is sufficient for you, if you believe in your heart and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, the Scripture says you will be saved and you are welcome to participate at this table. And while you're here, all the attention is there to remember. We do this in remembrance of Him. Paul says, "For I have received from the Lord what I have also passing on to you. that the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this. Take this. Eat this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper was finished, He picked up the common cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant, the new testament. In my blood, you will find new life. He said, do this, share this, drink this. Whenever you drink it, in this manner, in this place, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you have proclaimed the Lord's death until He comes again. But there's a warning. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of our Lord. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves as we should, we would not come under that kind of judgment. And when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Not by the world. The world condemns us already, but not with it. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, I love this phrase, wait for each other. I was asked one time, why don't we just go ahead and take it when it's given to me as it's passed out? This is why. He broke the bread and He passed it around and He held it up. I'm sure that night there was quiet around the table. And He raised it up and He said, this is my body. Broken. This is my blood poured out. This is weight for me. But I think that has another significance. It's not just waiting on one another, but it's waiting for God to speak to my heart and my soul. As we participate in the observance of the Lord's Supper, some traditions call it Holy Communion, the sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. It doesn't matter what you call it. It matters how you come to it, what you believe about it, and that God has moved within your heart and your life. So we need to vividly remember these details of what happened in His life that weekend, especially on that Friday when He was scourged and beaten, when He was humiliated and spit upon, when He was taken up to the top of Golgotha and nailed to a cross to die. We need to remember passionately His sacrifice is not only for us but for everyone else. And we need to remember respectfully the price He paid. For God so loved the world that He gave up His only begotten Son to die in our place. To die for us forevermore. There is no saving grace in what we do today. The saving grace has already come. What this is raising grace. Raising it to a level of holiness and respect in our lives for what God has done and remembering the legacy that He has left behind. His life has affected us all. and it shall will and shall and will for the remainder of our life, even into eternity. His message, His power, His presence, and His coming again, we all remember. So would you pray with me as we enter into this extremely, extremely personal time of worship? Father, how grateful we are. How blessed that You have loved us this much. And in our sin, You still loved us and forgave us. You were willing to take our place. It should be me on that cross, but it wasn't, and it never will be. For You have done for us what no man could do. You have done for us what only You can do. You have given us the New Testament, the New Covenant, through Your body broken and Your blood poured out. So, Father, we thank You as we remember all You endured for all who will receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time I'm going to ask our deacons to uncover the table, Monty to join me, and the other deacons that are participating to join us. Paul said in Corinthians 10:17, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, but we all partake of that one bread. John recorded, Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, lest you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. But whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. Matthew recorded this. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and, after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples, and He said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of My new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. James 5:16, He was concerned that we come to this table properly. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The power of a righteous man is powerful. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Prior to that, He said, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And one final word as the men come forward. James said, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail, and change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom.
Our Heavenly Father, as we reflect upon that Thursday evening and Friday of Passion Week, may we remember that Jesus started by washing the feet of His disciples. Then He served them the bread and wine, knowing what was coming next. Lord, we pray that in our life of distractions at times, that we may have that heart of service also. And then He allowed Himself to be arrested, abused physically, and abused by words and all sorts of acts. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, allowed his body to be broken. And yet he had the compassion for the thief next to him, and the compassion for the women and John at his feet, and even for those who had caused him to be put on the cross, for the Jewish leadership and the Roman soldiers. He asked your forgiveness, Lord. May we have that kind of compassion. Lord, we ask that you will make us aware of the sins within our life, that we may confess them and bring them before you before partaking of this bread. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. Because love is patient and kind and does not envy and does not boast, and it is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Love never fails. But when there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. You see, when I was a child, I talked like a child and I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childhood behind me. I put away the childish things. For now we see only a reflection in a mirror. But then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. For now these things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being our Lord and our Savior, Lord. And it's for that reason we are gathered here as a church family this morning. Lord, I think about the evening in the upper room. When you passed the cup to the 12 that was with you, to each one, and said, "This is my blood, my covenant, that was poured out for many, for the sins of all." Lord, help us to internalize that and think about that. Think about what you did for us on Calvary's cross. Lord, when the last drop of blood was shed from your body, your final words, Lord, was, "It is finished." Lord, I thank you that it is finished. The sacrifice has been made and the debt has been paid. So, Lord, help us to remember that this morning and this time as we take this cup. Amen.
Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring us any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding there for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? What about famine or nakedness, danger or even the sword? As the Word of God says, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep led to the slaughter. No, but in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life or angels or demons, neither the present nor the future nor the powers, neither height or depth or any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All God's people said, would you stand as we conclude our time of observance as Ray comes to lead us? Jesus paid it all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have celebrated and remembered His body broken, His blood that was shed. But don't you ever, ever, ever forget, He is alive. He is risen. May God be with us and bless us and walk with us through this week as we gather here or somewhere else on next Sunday morning, and never ever neglect to say, He is risen indeed. May God bless you.